Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the USA Hockey conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance, please press star, then zero, on your touch-tone telephone. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Mr. Dave Fisher. Mr. Fisher, you may begin.
Lee, thanks very much, and good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. Always a great day for hockey, but particularly this week, a very exciting week for hockey in our country as we celebrate Hockey Weekend across America, presented by Reebok this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday across the country. Actually, activities have already started throughout the country here on Monday, as some have chosen to expand the effort to a week-long event. And I think also, as you know, we're excited to the fact that the 2010 Olympic Winter Games are just about a year away. And as part of our efforts in Hockey Weekend across America today, we begin a series of teleconferences. We'll have one Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I think, which you're all aware of as well. Today, we're pleased to be joined by Zach Parise and Angela Ruggiero. Zach Parise, of course, seeking to make his first Olympic team. I think you all know in his fourth year as a member of the National Hockey League's New Jersey Devils, currently third in the National Hockey League in goals scored with 32, and I think actually his next goal will mark single-season career high for Zach. He's no stranger to international competition. Either he has played in 6 world championships already for the United States, 3 men's world championships, 2 world junior championships, and 1 men's under-18 championship, and I've asked Zach to in his opening remarks, talk to us a little bit about his journey in hockey in America to date, and also share with us his hockey hero or heroes at this point of his life. Without any further ado, we'll turn it over to Zach.
Thank you. I was just, started playing youth hockey there in Bloomington, Minnesota. Grew up there. My dad retired there after playing with the North Stars, and played youth hockey there, and then moved down to that prep school down there, Shattuck St. Mary's, and graduated from there, where learned a lot there. Had a great coach there. He's still there, Tom Ward. Learned a lot through him, and ended up going to University of North Dakota. And on the way, I was pretty fortunate to play with, as Fish said, with the under-18s, the U.S. under-18 team, and we won the World Championship there in Slovakia, and then played a couple World Juniors, and were able to win the 2004 World Juniors in Helsinki, which was a pretty great moment for all of us that were there. And now, like you said, in my fourth year, I'm in the NHL with New Jersey, and we're doing pretty well. We're first in our division, and feeling pretty good about how we're looking right now. So, thank you guys. Thanks for having me.
Zach, maybe too, and we talk about Hockey Weekend across America. Each of the 3 days has a theme, as I think you're all aware. Friday, wear your favorite jersey. Saturday, bring a friend to the rink. And Sunday, celebrate local hockey heroes. And Zach, maybe talk to us a little bit about who your hockey hero is at this point in life.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. I will mention that. I think growing up in Minnesota, everyone kind of looked to, and especially being an American, everyone looked to Mike Modano. You know, was a big I was always a big fan of him growing up, and still I'm just pretty neat playing against him now, and always looked up to him, and I just think just with the connection with USA Hockey, I think it's been pretty fun. I've gotten to meet him and gotten to talk to him a little bit, so it's I'd say he's definitely been my hockey hero growing up.
All right, Zach, thanks very much, and we also have with us today from Shoreview, Minnesota, Angela Ruggiero, 3-time Olympian, seeking, of course, to make her 4th Olympic team in 2010, 8 times. She's played for the U.S. Women's National Team in the Women's World Championship. She's an author, a TV star, having appeared in the 6th season of The Apprentice. Of course, the all-time games played later in the history of the U.S. Women's National Team program, and certainly one of the most celebrated players in the history of the women's game, not only in the United States, but on the world stage as well. 6 different times she's been named the top defenseman in the world. And Angela actually will be on the Today Show coming up on Thursday between 8:30 and 9 o'clock Eastern hour as part of the 1 year out to Vancouver. And without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Angela Ruggiero.
Thanks, Dave. Obviously, it's an honor to be on this call today just to celebrate, you know, Hockey Across America. I truly consider myself an American hockey player in that I grew up playing in boys hockey, really, in Southern California, Pasadena. Had some great coaches there, Scott Plumer. Just really got me to love the game at an early age. And when I found out, I grew up worshiping, really, the Los Angeles Kings and all the members of that team, Marty McSorley, Wayne Gretzky, Tony Granato, Luc Robitaille. And when I was 12, I found out that women's hockey was going to be in the Olympics, and that really became my next goal. Refocused and was fortunate enough to play hockey in prep school at Choate Rosemary Hall in Connecticut. So I got to play some girls' hockey out there and play for the Connecticut Polar Bears as well. And when I was 18, I made the Olympic team in that traveled to Nagano, Japan, where we won the first gold medal. Really, my role models at that point transferred to the women's game. Someone like Chris Bailey or Jimmy Granato, who are just such great ambassadors to the sport. I really looked up to them and really aspired to be like them in everything that they did and how they conducted themselves. And so playing hockey then in Boston for Harvard University, and I'm in Minnesota now. I got the train actually for the 2002 Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. So I played hockey there. I've played hockey in all over the country. I'm now based in Blaine, Minnesota, with the U.S. Olympic team, the residency program we have going training for Vancouver. So people say, "Where are you from?" My family lives in Michigan, so I train there in the summertime. I say I'm from all over America. I really. Have been fortunate enough to have learned from so many different coaches across the country, and have I really believe that, you know, Zach was talking about role models. You know, having those role models are really important because, you know, you wear the jersey when you're a kid, and you know, you really look up to them. And I had those role models growing up, and just trying to make one more, and that's pretty much my story.
All right. Very good, Angela. Appreciate it. Just to review, too, I think you're all aware, tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern, Dave Ogren, we will have on a media teleconference a State of USA Hockey type of a message. And then on Thursday, Brian Burke, the GM of the 2010 Men's Olympic team, will be with us at 4 o'clock Eastern, and then we'll finish off on Friday with Mike Emmerich, Kevin Allen, and Eddie Olchuk, kind of a trip down memory lane at 1 o'clock Eastern. That'll be on Friday. I'd like to now, I guess, at this point, turn it back over to Lee, and Angela and Zach will be happy to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press the pound key. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the 1 key. One moment, please. Our first question comes from the line of Jordan Samory from V Hockey News. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks very much. Zach, for you, obviously growing up in Minnesota, they call it the state of hockey, but I'm sort of wondering why you think that is, what it is about Minnesota that's different from the average American state. You've obviously played in a number of them in the NHL and throughout your travels as a junior. So what do you think is different about Minnesota?
I just think you grow up you're playing outdoor rinks all the time. Everyone's skating on the ponds. It is really, for me, I mean, just playing in the league for a few years here, I mean, it's always fun going to Canada. You're going to Toronto. You're going to Montreal. I mean, the buildings are always packed. It's always great. And for me, I think Minnesota is the closest thing to, you know, the passion that they have in Canadian city. You know, in the Minnesota high school tournament, I mean, they're selling out the Excel Center, 20,000 people. I mean, they love the game there. You know, it was a tragedy, I guess, when the North Stars left, and that was the best thing to bring another team there. But I just think you grow up playing in the outdoor rinks, and you grow up loving the game.
And I guess as a follow-up, this is for you and for Angela as well, if you don't mind answering also, Angela. Who or what was it that drew you to the game in the first place? And Angela, obviously for you also growing up in California, it's a little bit different. Not exactly the hockey hotbed, or at least it wasn't, I assume, at the time.
Yeah, it's California. Actually, I started. They were just my father signed me up when I was 7. He signed up my little brother, Billy, who was 6, who's still playing, actually. He's playing pro over in Finland now. And my sister played for a couple years. And, you know, there were no girls teams, but they just needed hockey players. They needed to, you know, field some teams back in the day. And so my dad brought me to the rink, and the LA Kings, you know, brought in Gretzky the year after I started playing. So that really created, I think, a huge explosion in some of these non-traditional hockey states that I benefited from, because more teams started to come and expand. And so, yeah, just my father, I think, influence, and my family just dedicated, driving miles and miles and miles like a lot of American families.
And same question to you, Zach?
I mean, for me, I think it's a no-brainer, just having my dad play in the league for so long and then coaching. I think he just kind of grew up in that, for both my brother and I grew up in that kind of atmosphere. Just, you know, in our house in Minnesota, there's hockey pictures all around, even from when he played with the North Stars to the Team Canada 72 series. He taught me a lot about the game and about what it takes to get to this level. And, it's no question, he's definitely been the biggest influence for me.
Thanks, guys.
Our next question comes from the line of John McGordy from NHL.com. Your line is open.
Angela, like so many questions, you could write a book, but...
I did, actually.
Congratulations on the World Championship in Harbin. And one of the things that I was noticing was that you're going to be coached by Mark Johnson now. You're playing for Marco Sicchi now. And then Jackie Bardo coached that team. Are you at all concerned about... you know, the different coaching and all, or is there a lack of consistency, or is there any kind of a worry there?
No, I think, you know, Ben Smith was our coach the last 3 Olympics. We won gold, silver, bronze, and USA Hockey, they've really expanded their, I think, dedication to the women's program in hiring Michelle Amidon, our director of operations now. And what they were doing over the past few years is, I think, giving more coaches an opportunity to coach us, and for the players to see sort of a different style as well at the, the most elite level that we have. So I think we've benefited from these different coaching styles, and now we're excited as a team to have, you know, consistency 1 year out heading into the Vancouver Games. We did have Coach Johnson in the 2007 Worlds. He's been involved in the program up until this point, and now he'll take us to Helsinki at the World Championships in April, and we'll have him full-time after he's done with Wisconsin this year. So, you know, I'm absolutely thrilled to have him and everything that he brings, his experience, his, within the women's game, within the men's game, at the Olympic level. I think it's just great that, you know, we're really excited, obviously, as a team, just to know that he's going to be on board.
Thank you. And also, I think you were the youngest member of the 1998 team. Now you'll be 30 at the Olympics, and only Jenny Potter's older, although Chandigan and Kerry are also same year as you. Talk about just that transition of being the one who looked up to people like Chris Bailey and Cammy to being the person that teammates are looking up to.
Yeah, it's... I think any hockey player at that elite level, at the NHL level, at the Olympic level, I think you understand sort of the role you play. And being the youngest member of the 98 team, I was always looking around the locker room, you know, what are people eating? How are they training? What kind of tips can I pick up from them? And definitely being sort of the most veteran player now, you know, I understand that role and I understand the responsibility that comes with it, but it's also exciting to be able to share some of the knowledge that, you know, you've learned from the players before you, and sort of to pass that along, to keep that tradition going and to keep, I guess, the same culture of the team, you know, that hard work and dedication that I learned from someone like Cammy, hopefully passing that on to some of the newer players.
Thank you.
Our next question comes to the line from Bob Duff from Winter Star. Your line is open.
Hi, Angela. I just wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously 4 Olympics, not many athletes have been able to accomplish that. What would that mean to you to be able to play in a 4th Olympics?
It would mean everything. I after the last Olympics, not having an NHL, I wish we had an NHL, but, I, you know, trying to figure out what I was going to do over the next 4 years. I had some opportunities with, you know, the Trump Organization and all kinds of things from The Apprentice, but I really love the sport, and to be able to represent your country in four Olympics, to me is just priceless. I knew, you know, obviously we all knew it was going to be in Vancouver where, you know, hockey is their passion up there. So, to be able to play in a fourth Olympics and hopefully win a gold medal where, you know, getting back to the top of that podium really means everything to me, and it is the reason why I'm still playing.
If I could also ask, Zach, I mean, you've mentioned your dad a couple times, just kind of the irony of you winning the gold at the World Juniors. You've been involved in one of the biggest moments in U.S. hockey, and your dad with the 72 series was involved in what many feel is the biggest moment in Canadian hockey. I just wonder if you and your dad talk about the irony of that at all, and if you've seen footage of the 72 series and your dad's infamous chair toss.
Yeah, I definitely have seen that. It was pretty funny, to say the least. But we do have it on DVD at home. And, you know, it's, I mean, you obviously know it's pretty intense when they were over there in that game eight. And I guess he did what he felt was necessary, and the ref, I guess, was giving him the short end of the stick for that whole series. And you know, he says he regrets it, but what do you do? It looks like it worked out for the best for him. But it is kind of ironic that he was representing Canada there, and now I'm with the U.S. and now hopefully have a good effort in Vancouver and see if. I think he's still got the leg up on me, so I got to try and catch up to him there.
Who does he cheer for when Canada plays the U.S.?
He's a U.S. citizen now, so I think he's rooting for us a little bit.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from the line of Chris Johnson from the Canadian Press. Your line is open.
Thank you. Just a quick question for Zach here. Zach, I'm wondering with the Olympics now about a year out, how much you think about that and maybe talk about that when you see other American players in your travels around the NHL?
I definitely think about it a lot. It's a goal of mine. I've always wanted to play in the Olympics. I've always wanted to represent my country. And it made it even more so, made think about it a little more so. We just went to Vancouver, I think, at the beginning of January, and you can tell already there the excitement that's there. You know, you can see the buildings that are going up, and it's really going to be a great place to have it. And I just hope I'm there to play, because I think it's going to be a great event. It's a great spot to have it. And I really think the U.S. is going to have a good team this year.
Great. And if I could just ask you a couple quick questions about your season as well. You know, you've had a couple, you know, good seasons prior to this one, but you seem to have taken it to another level. I'm wondering if there's anything in particular that you attribute that sort of progression to.
You know, I think this year our line has been great, playing with Travis and Jamie. Travis is having a breakout year. He's been unbelievable. And it just seems as if every game we're getting good scoring chances, and we're all feeding off each other, and we've made the game pretty easy for each other. And just, I guess, you know, your comfort level, you being the fourth year in the league, you get a little more comfortable, a little more confident. You want to, you know, you're not scared to make plays. You want to try things that, you know, maybe you wouldn't do a couple years ago. So just the comfort and confidence that comes along with playing for a couple years.
Okay, and Fish, you know, made reference to the fact you're about to, you know, pass your top goal scoring season. Do you have a thought of reaching 50, perhaps? Or?
Well, I mean, I, of course, I would like to. I think any player in the league would like to, but you don't want to get too focused in on a number. I think then you start doing things that are uncharacteristic. I don't want to, you know, keep thinking every day, you know, I got to score tonight, I got to try and get 50. I think you don't want to get caught up in that. You just want to keep playing the same way you have been all season. And you know, there's a reason, you know, why we are where we are right now. And, you know, I don't want to change anything. I just want to keep playing the same way I have been for this first three quarters of the season.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Brian Gomez from Colorado Springs Gazette. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. For Zach and Angela, there's been a lot of talk already about the home ice advantage that Canada will have in the Olympics. From your guys' experience in playing internationally, is it something that that is real once you step on the ice? Can you really tell it, or is it, you know, just something that's maybe more hyped up in the media? And if it is real, I mean, what do you guys have to do to sort of diffuse that sort of situation?
Go ahead, Angela.
All right. Well, you know what? I think there's definitely, if you can harness the energy of the home ice advantage appropriately, then for sure there's an advantage. But I think that's the biggest challenge is, especially in Olympics where it's, you know, it's not like an NHL playoff series. You have one game. You have to win consistently from a day-to-day basis to advance to the finals. If you succeed, then yeah, you can take advantage of that. But if you buckle under pressure, you know, it can work against you. If Canada feels the pressure of their entire nation on their shoulders in that game, then the home ice advantage will work to us, we'd like to think. So, you know, as a team, we're not focusing too much on that home ice advantage. We're focusing more on the fact that we are in the Olympics. We are playing for our country. There's going to be an enormous amount of energy in the building that we want to, you know, use. And so I think, we tend to just focus on what we're doing as opposed to what Canada's going to be doing. But playing from experience, you know, in Salt Lake City, there is an enormous amount of pressure on your shoulders. And I think it's just a matter of you know, how Canada chooses to react to that.
Zach?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with Andrew more. I think you know, one of the loudest buildings I've ever played in was in 2003. We were playing World Juniors and we played Canada in the semifinals. And I mean, you couldn't hear anything in there. It was unbelievable. It was a great atmosphere, and they used it to their advantage. You know, it was every rush. You know, they were out of their seats. They were going nuts, and Canada was able to feed off that. At the same time, I guess you look at our team right now, we don't play well at home for whatever reason, but we're great on the road. I think it's a mental thing, and I think when you get into a short tournament like that, I don't think that's the last thing you're concerned about is home ice. You're concerned about winning that one game and moving on. I just don't think you can allow things like that to creep in your mind, but you know they're definitely going to use it to their advantage. You know, the media is going to be all over them, you know, pumping Canada up, and I guess that's what you expect.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mike Morial from NHL.com. Your line is open.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks, Angela. First for you, Angela, what did it mean for you personally, and I guess women's hockey in general, to see Cammy inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame?
That was a very, very special moment, I think, for everyone in the women's hockey community. Just Cammy has been, you know, the ambassador to the world, I think, in the sport of women's hockey, and she's done so much for the game, you know, captaining our team in you know, when we won the gold medal in 98, as well as our silver in 2002, and just being an avid, you know, supporter of our game and getting out into the grassroots level. You know, she's pretty visible. She, you know, worked with the Kings, and she's had a few different roles within the hockey community. So when she, you know, was awarded that title, you know, everyone on her team was ecstatic, and you know, definitely something that she deserved, and everything that she's done for the sport of women's hockey to help it grow over the past decade or so. And I was personally, you know, touched just because I know the kind of, you know, person she is outside of just her hockey accolades and the things that she's done for the sport, but really the kind of person she is and sort of leader she was for our team.
Thanks, Angela. And Zach, can you talk about what life was like in the Parise household growing up in Minneapolis? I mean, did Jordan always play goal? Was he always a goalie? And did Dad join in on any games on the ice, you know, when you went out to the different rinks? What was it like?
Well, actually, my brother started as a forward. And for the first 2 years that we were playing, when we started getting organized hockey, he was making the team as a forward, and I was getting cut. So he was getting kind of frustrated for whatever reason. You know, he wanted to play D, I think, play goalie against my dad's wishes. But you know, it was like every hockey family, you know, your parents are running around in the summers. You're going from a hockey game over to a baseball game, back to another hockey game later that night. you know, traveling all the time. They did a phenomenal job of making sure we had every opportunity, and but at the same time, not pressuring us, you know, to not forcing us to play, making sure we want to play, making sure we do what we want to do, and we never my dad would never really talk hockey to us after a game unless we wanted to. You know, he just instilled the same way. You just I guess after the game was over, it's over, and he wants you to move on and start worrying about the next game and not you know, not be frustrated about a bad game or not allow yourself to get too high and too confident after a good game.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah.
Next question comes from the line of Rachel Bailey from Brady from CTB. Your line is open.
Hi, this is a question for both of you, Zach and Angela. Just wondering, sort of leading up to the Olympics in 2010, if you were to look across the field at all the teams that will be represented there, who are some of the athletes that immediately spring to mind when you're thinking of the key players to sort of watch in 2010?
Beck?
Well, I mean, it's tough not to look at the depth of the Canadian roster. I mean, it's almost as if, you know, they could field two teams and be competitive in the tournament. Just the young players that they have coming in, you start with Sidney and Getzlaff and Heatley, and I mean, the list goes on for them, and you always expect them and to be the team to beat in the tournament, and I think it's going to be the same way. They got a lot of great players, and but at the same time, I mean, the Russians will be great. I don't think you can overlook any team that's going to be there.
I would kind of echo, I think, what Zach's saying. The Canadians are obviously our biggest opponent. I mean, just to name some names, their goaltending obviously is stellar. Labonte, St. Pierre, that combo. Haley Wickenheiser, Jana Hefford, Caroline Ouellette. I mean, those three players, I think, have been stars for them for a while and will definitely be leaders in the tournament. But that's not to say you can't overlook Sweden, who just recently beat Canada at the Four Nations tournament. Holmlov and Ruth on their team, I think, are their two big stars right now. So, yeah, you just got to show up every single day because, you know, women's hockey every day, the depth is getting better. So, you know, it's not always U.S. and Canada as we saw in the last Olympics. There are definitely some teams that Sweden and Finland can challenge either one of us either day.
And just as a follow-up, perhaps, who would maybe be some key players that people might not be looking out for right in the U.S. on both the men's and the women's side?
For the guys, I mean, the young talent is great right now. There's a good talent pool. You got Kane in Chicago. You know, you got Mueller, you got O'Sullivan, you got Stafford. I mean, a lot of guys that have played on the World Championship teams. There was a lot of spots open, I think. Then you can also look at, you know, Gomez and the Drury. So I think this year there's going to be a lot of competing for some spots, and I think that's great. I think that just shows that the depth of USA and the kids growing up there, the development right now in the younger programs has been great for everybody. Everyone's going to benefit from it.
I would say definitely one of our biggest assets, she hasn't played in the Olympics yet, Jessie Vetter in net, played in net Wisconsin, has unbelievable statistics in net there and helped us win the most recent world championship. A couple other Wisconsin girls, Hillary Knight, who has only a sophomore, is, I think, in the top three in scoring right now at the NCAA. Her teammates, Erica Lawler and Megan Duggan. And then the Lamoureux twins, actually, who play at the University of Minnesota, have had an unbelievable breakout season this year. So there's definitely, if you look at our team, you would not, you know, you wouldn't recognize as many names because we had a pretty big drop-off after the last Olympics. We don't have that many returning players as we've had in the past. And we've mostly had, you know, starting in 2007, we had a lot of rookies that year. So we haven't gotten as much, you know, press over the last few years, you know, with the same visibility as the Olympics. But everyone on a roster right now, is, you know, I think is unbelievable.
Thanks.
I think one of the interesting things, too, and I think everybody might know this already, obviously the women's side has been dominated in the Olympics by the United States and Canada for the most part. On the men's side, since the NHL players began playing in 98, six different nations have played in the three gold medal games, so pretty balanced on the men's side between a lot of countries. Lee?
Our next question comes from the line of Daryl Houston from RotoWire. Your line is open.
That's right. Thank you very much. Angela, I was wondering if you might talk a little bit about your work with Project Hope.
Sure. I worked for the New York Islanders the year after the 2006 Olympics, getting a nonprofit that they started, Charles Wong started, called Project Hope, where we were bringing the sport of ice hockey to communities in China and basically just trying to promote the sport overseas, trying to create some educational opportunities attached to the sport of ice hockey. We brought a few teams over since then in the Project Hope Invitational to Long Island and give those players an opportunity to travel and to have a great hockey experience over in the U.S. And it's still actively growing. I'm no longer with it just because my eyes are focused on a gold medal in 2010. But it's a great project that that Charles initiated, and he really, I think, wants to continue to develop the sport of hockey worldwide. Really starting in China, where he has a close relationship with some of the people over there.
There you go. Thank you. Now you're going to have there's a big 10-game tour, I guess, that's going to kick off in September. But will the team be getting together before that? What's the timetable sort of for your team to get launched?
Our national team right now, we have about half our national team is actively training in Blaine, Minnesota at the Super Rink complex here. All the post-collegiate players have centralized, and we're getting ready for the World Championships in April, where our collegiate players will join us for that. And then this summer in August, we will start our Quest tour where they're basically sponsoring us through the 2010 Olympics on a 10-game sort of road series. We'll play Canada and some other international teams, some college teams. And the whole roster will be on, you know, I think they'll make the cut to 23 players that'll go on that tour. That'll be the national team starting in August, and then narrow it down, I believe, to 21 players before the Olympics.
Thank you very much, Angela. Pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, Joe.
Our next question comes from the line of Jordan Samory from V Hockey News. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks again. Zach, question for you. You're obviously, you mentioned a bunch of those young guys coming up to the U.S. system now, and you're obviously one of them. How have you embraced, you know, being part of that next generation of young American-born superstars, I guess?
I don't think it's something that that you think about. For us, we've been pretty fortunate. When we won the under-18s and then we won the under-20s, the World Juniors, we had pretty much the same team. And you could kind of tell that this could be a group that might stick together for a while and hopefully be pretty successful. But I don't think we look at it as this, you know, hey, you know, we're these up and coming, you know, USA representatives, I guess. I think it's a very humble group. It's a group that just works hard and competes, and I don't think that we give ourselves that label, but you know, if you guys want to do it, that's great. We'll be glad to take it.
You mentioned a few names before, you know, yourself, Pat Kane, there's Dustin Brown, Ryan Kessler, Phil Kessel, Bobby Ryan. How many of these guys do you expect to actually make the team? And I don't know if you've actually been given an idea of, you know, what the mix of players is going to be, young versus old. But how many of these guys do you think will really actually end up being there?
Well, I think, going back to what I was saying earlier, I guess that's a good problem to have when you're selecting a team. You've got that deep talent pool. And I guess there's going to be a lot of talk about that. I mean, how do you want to structure the team? Do you want to, you know, have your standard two scoring lines, your checking line, your energy line, or do you want to do you want to pick, you know, 12 scorers and put them in certain roles? I think that's going to be a good decision for the coaching staff and the managers to have, is how you want to form your team. And they'll do a great job at it. But, I think I think it will be a young team just because the talent level is that good right now of young players. And, you know, it's, again, just, you know, with the Canes and the Muellers and the Dustin Browns, I think it's tough to overlook all the young talent that there is out there.
If you were the GM right now and the Olympics were tomorrow, who would be your starting six?
Oh, geez.
No pressure, though.
Wow.
Glad I'm not the GM right now.
you know, got a promotion, Zach.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You can put yourself on there. That's all right.
I think I'm more of a third liner, and I don't know. I think you'd have to go. I can get myself in trouble here. You know, I don't know. Miller's having a great season in Buffalo there, in the Nets, and but DiPietro's always there too. I know I'm throwing two names out there, but oh my God, I think you'd put Kane, Gomez, and. I'll put Dustin Brown there too, and then maybe Komisarek and Rafalski on point.
Thanks, I appreciate the answer.
That's a tough question, I'll be honest.
Thanks, though, appreciate it.
Next question comes from the line of John McGordy from NHL.com. Your line is open.
Back in November, Igor Larionov was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and he took the time out to say that more international players, more Russian players, more European players should be admitted to it. And that started some conversation about the possibility of women being admitted into what is a Hockey Hall of Fame, not an NHL Hall of Fame. Angela, could you give me, say, five names of people that you would recommend the Hockey Hall of Fame admit immediately?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I definitely think that, you know, women deserve a spot. It is the Hockey Hall of Fame. It isn't, like you said, it isn't just the NHL Hall of Fame. And we don't have... You know, we've never had that opportunity, but that's not to say that we don't play with the same, you know, passion and represent our countries in the same way. So that being said, this is a hard one. Probably, you know, Cammy Granato obviously is an easy one for me. I think someone like Angela James, who I think it was an ambassador for Hockey Canada for years. Perhaps Haley Wickenheiser, who I think has done the same thing for the sport of hockey in Canada. I'd like to say, let's see, this is really hard. maybe Cassie Campbell. Again, I'm thinking just the players that have really embraced the sport and done helped develop it. I think she's done a lot to develop, you know, grow hockey in Canada as well. And maybe someone like, you know, Aaron Witten, who I think didn't have the same opportunities at the Olympic level, but did that prior to us, you know, having an Olympic experience. Or Karin Bai, I think she's another one that I would definitely say.
And I had Danielle Goyette on my list, but
Goyette, yeah, she's definitely up there. She's played long enough.
Yeah, thank you.
She almost deserves it on that alone.
Thank you.
Our next question comes to the line of Phil Colvin from Michigan Hockey. Your line is open.
Hi, Angela.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Good, thank you. I wanted to see if you could talk about your experience so far on the residency program in Blaine.
It's been phenomenal, really. We centralized before the 2002 Olympics and had probably the best team, one of the best teams that ever has ever been formed, just because we had 2 years of solid training. But I think it was a little too much. We were living at the Olympic Training Center and didn't have the same amount of balance, I think, that the residency program now has created for us. Some of the women I'm in school, you know, I'm going to grad school at the University of Minnesota right now. Some of the girls on our team are coaching. Natalie Darwitz is at the University of Minnesota as an assistant. We have other girls that are just training full time. So it's created not only an amazing hockey atmosphere. Coach Oseski is running that, but it's enabled our team really to train 2 years out because you have the collegiate players that are training at the NCAA level, you know, all great programs, and then you have the post-grad players, which really has been the biggest hindrance to, I think, the growth is what do these players do when they graduate? And this residency program has enabled us to have our full roster training full-time at a very high level, and so I couldn't be happier. I think we have a perfect blend of balance and training as well. You know, we're playing tons of games. We're practicing. We're on the ice, you know, at least 6 days a week. We're doing yoga. We're shooting pucks. We're doing all kinds of stuff. So I couldn't be happier really heading into the 2-10 games and just the idea of what we've been doing to prepare.
Great. Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the 1 key. Showing no further questions at this time.
All right, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much for your participation. This call has been recorded and will be posted at HockeyWeekendAcrossAmerica.com later today. And if you have any questions that you need immediate answers to, please feel free to call me here in the office, 719-538-1171. Thanks very much. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow again, 1 o'clock Eastern with Dave Holgren. Good day.